So I've been sitting with all this data for weeks, and what's hitting me hardest is how higher education is changing faster than anyone can keep up with. It's not just adding a new app or tool, it's a complete overhaul of how teaching and learning happen, and it's leaving a lot of educators and students scrambling. I was just looking at that article, Enhancing Pedagogy with Artificial Intelligence, and it struck me, we're not just tweaking methods, we're rethinking the entire foundation of what a classroom even is.
Yeah, I see that every day in my computer science classes. Last semester, we had professors using AI to generate coding exercises on the fly. And this semester, it's like they're trying to catch up with what students are already doing. But it's messy. Sometimes the tech helps. Other times it feels like we're just adding layers without really improving learning. Like in one of my courses, they introduced an AI tutor, but it couldn't handle the nuances of why my code was failing. So I ended up spending more time debugging the tutor than learning.
That's exactly the tension I'm seeing, innovation versus tradition. On one hand, there's this push to adopt new tools, but then you have educators like Professor James, who's been teaching for over a decade, worried that we're losing the human element. James, what's your take on this rapid shift? Are we moving too fast?
Sighs, Alex. It's not about resisting change. I've integrated tech into my economics courses for years, but this pace, it's unsustainable. I read the Academic Integrity Technological Arms Race piece, and it's spot on. We're in this cycle where we add proctoring software to prevent cheating, but then students find workarounds, so we add more surveillance. It's becoming an arms race, and I worry we're focusing on policing instead of pedagogy. What's the long-term impact on trust and learning? I've had students tell me they feel like they're in a prison during exams, not a classroom.
I get that. In my ethics class, we discussed Who Will Watch the Watchmen, that article on algorithmic proctoring. It's creepy how these systems track eye movements and keyboard clicks. But as a student, I also see why it's needed. Some of my peers use AI to write essays, and it's hard to detect. But the solution can't just be more surveillance. It has to be about redesigning assessments so that cheating isn't the easy way out.
Coming from my teaching background, I've seen this play out in real time. When I was in the classroom, we struggled with balancing innovation and the basics. Like, we'd introduce interactive whiteboards, but if the pedagogy isn't solid, it's just a fancy distraction. That What Makes a Good Curriculum article, the one on data ordering and LLM reasoning, really resonates. It shows that how we structure content matters more than the tools we use. If we're not thoughtful, we end up with a curriculum that's a mile wide and an inch deep.
So the critical gap here is the long-term pedagogical impact. We're adopting all these changes, but do we know if they're actually helping students learn better in the long run? I've talked to faculty from community colleges to research universities, and the consensus is that we're flying blind on some of this. For instance, AI-enhanced grading might save time, but if it doesn't capture a student's critical thinking, are we shortchanging their education?
Precisely. In my department, we piloted an AI system for grading short answers, and it was efficient, but it missed subtleties, like when a student makes a creative connection that doesn't fit the model. That's where the human instructor shines. But with budget cuts, admin is pushing for these tools to scale up. It's a resource constraint issue. Smaller schools can't keep up, leading to disparities. A community college might not have the funds for the latest AI. While an R1 university is experimenting with virtual labs, that widens the equity gap.
And from the student side, it's frustrating. I've friends at state schools who are stuck with outdated online platforms, while here we're testing VR for engineering labs. But even with cool tech, if the teaching isn't engaging, it doesn't matter. I took a course last year where the professor used AI to personalize readings, but the discussions felt robotic, because the AI couldn't foster real dialogue. We need evidence that these tools actually improve learning, not just make things faster.
That ties into the path forward, evidence-based adoption. Instead of jumping on every new trend, we should be asking, what does the data say about student outcomes? But it's tricky, because the data is often siloed or short-term. Maya, from your experience, how can educators start building that evidence in their own classrooms?
Well, it begins with small, iterative changes. When I was teaching high school before moving into curriculum design, we'd trial a new approach, like flipped classrooms, and gather feedback from students over a semester. Not just test scores, but their engagement, their ability to apply knowledge. That Enhancing Pedagogy with AI article suggests pairing tech with proven methods, like collaborative learning. For example, using AI to group students based on learning styles, but then having humans facilitate the discussions. It's about blending innovation with what we know works.
But that requires time and training, which many institutions aren't providing. I've attended workshops where they introduce a new tool, but don't follow up on how to integrate it pedagogically. It's like giving someone a car without teaching them to drive. And with the generational divide, older faculty like me might be skeptical, while newer hires are all in. That creates politics within departments. I've seen tensions where junior faculty push for AI-driven assessments, and senior staff resist, fearing it undermines academic integrity.
Speaking of integrity, that Academic Integrity Technological Arms Race article highlights how reactive we've become. Instead of preventing cheating through better teaching, we're investing in detection. In my coding classes, some professors have moved to project-based assessments where collaboration is encouraged, but it's assessed individually. That reduces the incentive to cheat because you're building something real. But it takes more effort to design and grade. So not everyone does it.
So we're at a crossroads. Innovation can either enhance or hinder, depending on how it's implemented. The unique angle here is institutional transformation. It's not just about individual classrooms, it's about whole systems shifting. For instance, some universities are creating centers for teaching excellence that bridge tech and pedagogy, but others are just buying software without a plan. What practical steps can we take to move toward evidence-based adoption?
First, start with the purpose of education. Why are we teaching this material? If it's to foster critical thinking, then any tool should support that. Piloting programs with clear metrics, like student retention or skill application, can help. Also involving students in the process, like Aisha here. Students often have insights into what tools actually help them learn versus what's just flashy.
I agree. We need more faculty learning communities where we share successes and failures. At my university, we have a group that meets monthly to discuss articles like In the Nexus of Integrity and Surveillance, Proctoring Reconsidered. It's helped us rethink online exams, maybe open book assessments that test application, not memorization, reduce the need for invasive proctoring. But it requires admin support for training and time.
And from a student perspective, transparency is key. If professors explain why they're using a certain tool and how it benefits learning, we're more likely to buy in. Also, addressing the resource issues, like ensuring all students have access to reliable tech, not just those at well-funded schools. In one of my classes, we used an AI-based essay grader, but it was biased against non-native English speakers. That's a huge problem if we're not careful.
That brings us back to the long-term impact. If we don't address these gaps, we risk deepening inequalities. The data shows that rapid change is inevitable, but it doesn't have to be chaotic. By focusing on pedagogy first, what actually works for learning, we can guide innovation. For example, that article on LLM mathematical reasoning showed that the order of data in curricula affects how well AI models learn, which mirrors how students learn. So, maybe we should apply similar principles to human education. Structure content in ways that build understanding progressively.
Absolutely. In curriculum design, we talk about scaffolding, breaking down complex ideas into manageable steps. If we use AI to personalize that scaffolding, it could be powerful, but it has to be evidence-based. I've seen schools jump on adaptive learning platforms without checking if they align with learning objectives. It's like building a house without a blueprint.
And let's not forget assessment. If we're innovating teaching methods, we need to innovate assessment too. Multiple choice tests might not cut it for measuring critical thinking. Projects, portfolios, peer assessments, these can be more meaningful but require more resources. That's where institutional support is crucial. admin needs to prioritize pedagogical integrity over cost saving.
As a student, I'd love to see more authentic assessments. In my capstone project, we're working on a real-world problem with a local company, and it's teaching me more than any exam could. But it's not scalable without support. If universities invested in partnerships and mentorship, it could transform learning. But often, innovation stops at the classroom door because of bureaucracy.
So, the synthesis here is that rapid change demands a balanced approach, embracing innovation while grounding it in evidence and pedagogy. The emotional journey, as we've discussed, starts with frustration and uncertainty, but can move toward action if we collaborate. What are some immediate next steps for educators listening?
Start small. Pick one aspect, like using AI for feedback on drafts, and test it with a single class. Gather student feedback, look at outcomes, and adjust. Also, tap into existing research. Those articles we mentioned are a great starting point for discussions in department meetings.
And advocate for institutional change. Push for professional development that's not just tool-based, but pedagogy-focused. Share success stories, like how project-based learning reduced cheating in my courses, to build momentum.
Students can be allies here. We should have seats at the table when decisions are made about tech adoption. Form student advisory groups to give input on what tools actually enhance learning.
That's a powerful point. Ultimately, institutional transformation happens when all stakeholders, faculty, students, admin, work together with a shared purpose to improve learning outcomes. The data might show rapid change, but it also reveals opportunities to build a more resilient, evidence-based education system. Let's keep this conversation going and turn insights into action.